This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. It's time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
Whew, is traffic awful out there tonight. If you're coming from 83 North and the east side of the Beltway headed over to the west side, I left 45 minutes before the show. It takes me about 15 minutes to get here. Even in bad traffic, it takes about 35, 40 minutes. And this time, it took almost a full hour. Wow, it's a mess out there. And my co-host, Thomas Bombasuto, is living well out there in that traffic also right now. And hopefully, he'll be here in about 5 minutes or so. And my guest tonight, we're going to have to get online because he was coming from the east side over to the west side, and he was crawling on that beltway. And so I guess we at least have lots of listeners out there who are trying to get home, and I pray that you see a break in that traffic. I also pray nobody got hurt in that situation. But let's get our guest online, Kevin Bress. Kevin, how are you? Are you there?
Yes, Drew. I'm somewhere. I don't know where I am.
Yeah, you're out there, though. You're always out there, Kevin. Anyway, you're crawling along, and you'll be here soon, I'm sure, in person. But right now, we'll just take you on the telephone. You know, Kevin, your expertise is in estate planning and elder care law. And so that's what we're going to open up our lines to tonight for our guests, our listeners, our guests tonight. And you're our expert in estate and elder care law. So Kevin can answer your questions about estate planning. If you have questions about wills, powers of attorneys, advanced directives, you know, living wills, some people call them. If you have any of those kinds of questions that you want to have addressed, Kevin can help you with those, and he also can address elder care questions, you know, like if you have an elderly parent or a spouse, somebody who may need long-term care assistance, and you're wondering how you're going to pay those bills, what can you do to protect what assets you do that you need to live on for the rest of your life, or if you're the children of parents or elderly and you see that they're situation is going to require some significant care in the future. How can you help deal with that? And Kevin can address those types of questions. So if you want to get online and ask your question, 410-922-6680 is the ability, the way you get to call in and ask your question on either estate planning or elder care laws and so forth. 410-922-6680 if you want to call in and ask your questions. So, Kevin, while we wait to see what callers might have questions, let me ask you a couple questions. In the state of Maryland, that's where your expertise is, right?
That's correct.
What is happening in Maryland in the sense of elder care planning? Are they difficult, more difficult, less difficult, the same in getting approved for Medicaid in the state of Maryland?
Yeah, it's been interesting, Drew, because you would think with budget crises and government trying to cut back that it would be more difficult to see Medicaid benefits be made available. But we're finding really the opposite, that the agency that qualifies people for Medicaid, the Department of Social Services, they keep liberalizing their standards for what people are allowed to do with their money in order to not watch it all go circle down the drain.
Really?
So they are now open-minded to people who say, well, I gave a lot of money to my child for a wedding, or I helped them buy a house, or I transferred $50,000 for medical expenses to help my grandson.
Right, right.
And in the old days, those were penalty situations where you were disqualified for a series of months based on how much you gave away. But now they're open-minded, and they're saying, look, you didn't do that to get on Medicaid. You did that for some other reason, and so we will excuse that.
Wow. So, Kevin, we're going to talk more about that, but we do have a couple callers calling in asking questions, so we might as well go to their questions. And Tom made it into the house now, so he'll be coming online with us in a second or two, so he soon gets settled. Joe in Towson, how can we help you?
If you have an estate over $1 million, from what I understand in Maryland, the proceeds or the amount above that,
well, this year,
16%.
This year, Joe, it's gone up to $1.5 million. So you're already $500,000 up. So go ahead, and you want to know how to avoid that estate tax.
Right. If your estate exceeds that amount,
okay,
how do you avoid it other than moving out of the state?
I was going to just say that. Move out of Maryland, but Kevin may have some other suggestions for you. Kevin?
Right. We don't want to see people have to run out of Maryland.
But they're doing it. But go ahead.
Yeah. Are you married, Joe?
Am I? Yes. Well, the reason I propose that question is that I just had a relative that had the problem, and he moved to Delaware. Then I had a friend of mine who, several years ago, he moved out of the state of Maryland for the same reason.
Well, the good news, Joe, is that in the year 2019, Maryland is going up to the federal limit of $5,340,000 or whatever the federal exemption is at that time. So if you hang on for four more years, it may be a moot point for you unless you have a very substantial estate.
It exceeds that amount.
Okay, well,
as did the other two parties that I just referred to.
Now, Kevin, though, Maryland is going to accept portability also beginning 2019. Is that not correct?
That's what everybody expects, right?
Well, so if that's true, then, Joe, then it's $10,680,000. It could easily be $11 or $12 million by that time.
Well, that's if you're married. I mean, each of the husband has $5 million, the wife has five.
No. With portability, you don't even need five and five. It just means that if one dies and never uses any of it, the survivor gets the full exemption of both individuals.
Right. That's at that time, but not for
not right now. For the next 4 years, you definitely, you're at $1.5 million this year, $2 million next year, $3 million in 17, $4 million in 18, and then what we understand, it's full federal with portability. But Kevin, what other things can Joe do?
Give away money. Maryland has no gift tax. So if you were on your deathbed and you were worth $5 million, you could literally write a check for $4 million, die the next day, and you're exempt from Maryland estate tax.
Well, who pays the taxes on that?
Nobody.
Nobody.
Nobody. How about if all the money is in real estate?
You could retitle the property.
You can't give the real estate away. From what I understand, you have to have it appraised.
No, you can. You can. You can do an assignment to your children on your deathbed if you want to, even without it appraised.
I'm talking about now. You have a piece of property worth $1 million. You're saying that you can give that to your child or grandchild, and that's not taxable.
Well, here's the problem, Joe, and I wish Kevin were here in the audience with me. It'd be easier for he and I to be communicating on this. But we need to know if you have a federal estate tax exemption. Is your estate greater than 10 or 11 million? And if it is, that creates even greater complexity, because now we have to maneuver between state estate taxes and federal estate taxes. So do you think you're greater than 10 million even?
Yes.
Okay, so then we have a bigger problem, Kevin.
Oh, yeah, and there's one other problem with the strategy I just told you, Joe, about gifting it, is when you give something away, the basis carries over to the recipient. So if it's appreciated real estate, or even worse, depreciated real estate, where you took depreciation, you have a low basis, and then you give it to that person. Should they turn around and sell it several years down the road, the capital gains tax may be worse than what the Maryland estate tax would have been.
So,
that's not like tax, which would be at the time of the death. so that even though you paid $1 a share and it's worth $500 a share, the basis at your death would be the $500, correct?
Correct.
If you held on to it and died with it, yes.
Right, but real estate is not like that.
Now, real estate does the same thing. If you die and it's worth $10 million worth of real estate that you paid $1 million for, your children have a cost basis of $10 million at the time of your death. But what Kevin's saying is if you give it away, the children inherit your million-dollar basis in a gift during your lifetime. What you would need to do, Joe, in my opinion, and I think Kevin would agree with me, you'd need a lot more sophisticated planning. And the thing I would be looking at is like a family limited partnership where you create a partnership and you start gifting small percentages of that partnership to your children and, you know, and so forth. You still control the asset as a whole, but you're transferring larger amounts of real estate over to the children at what would be considered discounted values. That would be something that might be considered. But anytime you have an estate more than $10 million, Joe, you need sophisticated planning.
Can you create a LLC and then put it in a trust and then do that?
Yeah, that's part of the concept of what we're talking about. It's a family limited partnership as a family LLC. Would you agree, Kevin, that that's a strategy somebody like Joe might be considering?
Absolutely.
Yeah. There's lots of other things you can do, Joe, but you're at a stage where you need to make sure you have a team of advisors that you're absolutely certain have your best interest in mind and are coming up with the simplest, most efficient methods to minimize your estate taxes. So that's what you need to be doing, Joe. All right?
All right. Thank you very much.
All right, buddy. I got to take one quick pause with Nick Rehack in traffic, and then I'm going to come back to Jean because she's got a great question. And Jean, I hope you hold on and ask that question. I'll be right back, Money, Riches, and Wealth.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
And we're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth. And hopefully that traffic is clearing up out there. But we have Jean on hold, and we're with Kevin Bress tonight. Estate and elder care law questions we can take, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in and ask your question, 410-922-6680. Jean in Baltimore, are you still there?
Still here.
Oh, Jean, you go.
In all this traffic.
Yeah, well, there you go. It's, go ahead and ask your question, Jean.
My husband is in his very early 60s. I'm in my late 50s. And we currently own a home, and we're thinking of buying another home that we're eventually going to move to. And my question is, we were wondering if it was wise, because of our age, to go ahead and put this new home that we plan on ending up, you know, the rest of our life in this home, but go ahead and put it in our two daughters' names.
What would you, in your opinion, would be the reason you're even considering the idea? Is there something specific?
Well, I don't want them to be burdened with any kind of taxes should we die or when we die. And, you know, just a way to protect the investment that we have in it without the state coming in.
Well, let me ask you a quick question, you know, before I turn it over to Kevin. What would you say, in general, would you say your net worth is as a whole? Is it a million? Is it 5 million?
Yeah.
Is it 500,000?
Our total net worth is probably close to a million.
Okay. And so, Kevin, what do you think?
Yeah, Gene, I think that you would be pleasantly surprised to learn that if you structure your affairs correctly, you could pass everything on to your children totally estate tax-free without probate and without putting their names on the house yet, on the deed. You could have them on the deed as beneficiaries under a deed that we call a life estate, so they will inherit it instantly when you're both gone. But while you're alive, you own it, you control it, you can sell it, you can mortgage against it, you can do whatever you want. But, there's no transfer tax when a property goes from a parent to a child or as a result of death. So it's really going to be a much better result than you were probably thinking.
Okay, awesome.
I don't typically find it good to put houses and names of children, especially appreciating assets, because they're young and that house could go up quite a bit of money, and the capital gains tax savings would be far beneficial than anything else, you know.
And when you say three children, that's
two daughters,
that's double the risk that one of them gets into financial trouble. And what happens, Gene...
Just means a divorce, possibly.
Yeah, in Maryland, if I sued your daughter for something and I won, it's an automatic lien against that property, your property. So,
And if her daughter would get divorced, that could end up in a messy divorce also, you know, because it would be considered an... She could argue that it's my parents, you know, and they gave it to me, and it's not marital property, but still, it could get ugly in there.
Right.
Yeah.
And Kevin, you mentioned the life estate trust. Can you explain that a little bit clearer in terms of at what point they're going to do that, you know, in the process?
Well, you've already acquired the property, Gene, so...
Well, we've already acquired one of them, and we're probably going to be looking at the other one in the next couple of years.
So if you can prevail upon the title company when you acquire the property, and you may need a refresher course on this when the time comes, but you want a life estate deed with full powers retained, full powers of sale, with your daughters as what are called remaindermen, which is the same as saying beneficiaries.
Okay.
And you might need a little coaching on should they hold it as tenants in common or should they hold it as joint tenants with rights of survivorship. So, I mean, it's a little trickier than a simple radio description, but it is pretty easy.
But the point being, do it prior to going to settlement so it can be done right in the first time the deed is done.
That's right, Tom, and then you don't pay twice.
Right. That's my point.
All right, Gene.
Okay, awesome.
Right.
Got it.
Thank you
so much.
All right. And Barry, if you hold on, I'll answer your question after I come back from this pause that Noah requires us to take, a pause every so often. We're here with Kevin Bress, and we're talking estate and elder care planning. If you want to get online, 410-922-6680. And right now I'm going to Nick Rehack and Traffic. Take it away.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
And we're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're here with Kevin Bress, and Kevin is an estate attorney in elder care. And so we're talking about estate planning, which includes powers of attorney, you know, for financial purposes, and wills, advanced directives. It includes state taxes and federal estate taxes, state estate taxes, and Maryland is one of those glorious states that allows us to pay, graciously allows us to pay estate taxes. And Maryland's never saw a tax they didn't like. It's the only state in the country, isn't it, that has both an inheritance and an estate tax, if I'm not mistaken. I'm almost positive of that.
Well,
almost.
Yeah.
I can't think of any others.
They're fully recoupled, they're going to be no different than any other state, though, because they all sponge the estate tax credit off the federal system.
Right. So anyway, we're here and we're taking callers, so you know, we'll take your calls. And we don't have anybody online right this second, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in and get your personalized question answered, 410-922-6680. So Kevin Barry called in. He said off air, he said, you know, Drew, you talk too fast sometimes. I don't agree with that. I think I talk pretty slow. Anyway, he said, give us the increments of Maryland estate tax going up. So it's, what is it in 15, 16, 17, 18, and 19?
It's $1,000,000, $2,000,000, $50,000, $16,000, $20,000, $50,000. No, I'm just kidding.
You talk faster than I do, Kevin. You're a lawyer, though. We expect that. Go ahead.
So this year it's $1,500,000.
Yep.
2016 it goes to $2 million.
Right.
And then where I'm second-guessing myself is the next instrument, increment
Three.
Is a full, then it goes in full $1 million increments.
Right.
$3 million in 2016, $4
million. 2017,
$3 million. 2018, $4 million. And 2019, if it were the federal today, which is $5,430,000, it just went up.
Right. And I keep talking the 14 number. $430,000, okay.
So it would be $10,860,000 if we were in 2019 right now.
Because of portability.
Well, if you've got the husband and wife.
If you've got the husband and wife. But if it's just a single person, it would be the $5,000,430. But it's zero in Florida. And 39.
Florida does have an estate tax to the extent you have a federal estate tax. They all do. So, in other words, if you owed $1,000,000 of federal estate tax to Florida.
Yeah, I mean to the federal government.
I'm sorry, to the federal government. The federal government says, but if you owe up to $200,000 to your state, we'll credit that against your million you owe us. And so you only pay the federal government $800,000. Florida says, thank you very much. Whatever the credit is, we'll take it. We'll take the $200,000. So you're going to pay $1,000,000 either way. It's just that it bifurcates it. Some goes to Florida, some goes to the federal government. That's how Maryland had always operated before.
But now with Maryland, it's $1,000,000 to the federal government and whatever you owe the state of Maryland in addition.
Yeah, they're not.
So it's very different than Florida.
Today.
And, you know, that's why you want out of this place. Anyway, Kathy in Dundalk. Kathy, how can we help you?
Hi, I have a question that probably you've never heard before in reference to powers of attorneys. I'm wondering if I can go to a public library and get a form for a medical power of attorney or a real estate power of attorney and just type it up and have it notarized. And would this be legally recognized by whomever I'm going to be doing business with?
Hold on, Kath. You know, the medical one's easy. She can go online to the Attorney General's website and get the full Maryland Advance Directive for medical care. So that one's easy. Go on to the Attorney General for Maryland's website, and it's free Maryland Advance Directive.
The only problem.
You're a lawyer.
Yeah. It is a form. You have to stick within the ambit of the form. And for a lot of people, that's fine. But I've got clients who say, well, I want my two children either or. Then I want the alternate to be somebody. Well, the form's not going to accommodate that kind of scheme unless you retype it yourself, which you can.
Right. Yeah.
I understand. But now the real estate and other financial matters, that gets a little more complicated.
Right.
Well, let me mention this. My husband, God love him, he's wonderful. He's in the first stage of dementia. He has more good days than bad days, thank God. The medicine is working wonderfully. But I would like to, while he has so many wonderful good days, we don't have a medical power of attorney for me to act on his behalf in case that we need in order to sell our house, to sell.
All right, Kathy, hold on a second. Kevin, this is a very important one. Give her the advice she needs right now after she told us that. Go ahead.
Thank you.
Tell her what she needs to know.
Well,
she needs to get a lawyer in on this one. She shouldn't do this herself, should she?
I'm tempted to just try to answer your question in the context you gave it, which is, how do I do it myself? And the answer
is don't.
No, but there's
a reason for this, because she just said he potentially could be challenged in his capabilities, and a lawyer would be able to testify that he understood what he was signing.
Well, right. There's value added. There's definitely value added with a lawyer involved in the process for the reasons Drew says. But the document itself is also a little bit tricky because the state has made a power of attorney form that lawyers use. We all use the state's form. But the form is deficient in many respects. And so all lawyers supplement the form with additional language. So if you do it yourself, you're 80% of the way there, but it may be the 20% that you need.
But if she tried that Maryland statutory form and she didn't have a lawyer involved and a bank or a financial institution knew that the husband had mental incapabilities, they could easily challenge that, and she would not have, in my opinion, the statutory powers over that. Because nobody could prove whether he was understanding it. If she had a lawyer do it, there wouldn't be a question. Financial institutions would tremble at that document.
And we would defend it. So if the bank said, wait a minute, we can't honor it, you say, call my lawyer.
Yeah. Kathy, right. I'm a big fan. If you could do it yourself for free, I would want you to do it. But in this situation, what you just said, get yourself an attorney and save yourself a lot of problems, okay?
Right. Now, let me ask you this about a home. Can you, if you still have a mortgage, even though it be a small mortgage on your home, and you have a daughter, your only daughter, and you'd like to create a life estate without powers for us, but powers for her, can you do that if you have a small mortgage on your home?
I can only recommend that you clear it through the mortgage company.
Yep.
I can say that my clients have reported back to me they did not have a problem, but I don't want to be saying, telegraphing tonight, companies will look the other way and they'll be fine with it, but generally they are.
Sure. Okay, Kathy,
so,
I got it wrong.
I love your show. I'll listen to it every Wednesday night. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Kathy.
I was ready to hang up on her, and
she's being nice to us.
She was being extremely nice to us, so we appreciate that, Kathy. Charlie in Ellicott City, how can we help you?
I'm nice to you guys, too.
What's up, buddy?
My question is kind of real life, but not yet, so it's hypothetical right now. Let's say you have quite a bit of money. You sold Mom's house, and pretty much all the money is not in Mom's name anymore. And Mom's in assisted living, but she's borderline. She's at the highest level of care. You just never know when she's going to go into a nursing home situation, which is twice as much money. Under current circumstances, she has enough continuing pension from my deceased dad, Social Security, and things like that to pay for two-thirds of assisted living. And that's going to change a lot if she goes into a nursing home. What after four and a half years, you've kind of guessed wrong, and there's not enough money to pay for four years of care. What happens?
At the assisted living.
Well, in either case.
Was either parent a veteran of a foreign war?
Yes.
Have you looked into the aid and attendance benefit from the VA?
Well, that was a problem.
Okay.
We applied and got it. But then there's been a lot of acrimony amongst the siblings as far as what to do with Mom's house that she has not lived in 9 years. And we were presented with a as-is contract, no inspection required. We figured we couldn't turn it down. So we had not set up a trust or anything. So we had to report that to the VA. And then we got a letter, in fact, in December saying she was going to lose that. It was $1,135 a month.
Right.
But talking to some lawyer along the way, he indicated really that the VA has no look-back period.
That's right. You could give it away.
In another year, we'll just reapply.
That's right.
Okay. But my question is, in all your efforts, initially there's a little bit of money to spend, because I feel like a huckster walking down the street in a wagon with all these chickens hanging from the huckster wagon, and a bunch of wolves are after me.
Well,
had my brothers and sisters say, well, why can't we have $10,000 now? Why can't we have $5,000 now?
Because it's not their money.
Oh, no. But what happens? I guess my basic question is, let's say you're 4 or 5 months short.
Yeah, you just pay.
Do they come back and want the people who got money to pay it up, or they don't care? They just say, too bad.
Well, at that point, are you saying she's still in assisted living?
Yes.
Well, assisted living.
Nursing care.
Assisted living, of course, would say pay up or get out. If you move her over to nursing care, they're not going to accept her unless you show the wherewithal to pay a few months. And if you can muster enough money to get her to the 5 years, you might only have to pay 3 or 4 months to the nursing home.
Well, let's put it this way. If she stayed in assisted living, which I doubt, there's enough money there for the rest of her life. Now, if she goes to a nursing home, full nursing home, we found out there's a lot of little things they don't cover. They may say it'll be $1,100 a month. But it can add up to like $15,000 a month, which is a hell of a lot of money. And you can really go through whatever money you thought you had put aside really, really quick. And
you're ahead of the curve.
We're thinking she's within maybe 6 months to a year of going to the full nursing care. And if she does that, we have enough money put aside for about 3 to 4 years.
Well, here's the thing you've got to know. The minute she sets foot in a nursing home, you've got to get the right advice and apply for Medicaid immediately. She will
not,
be
not when the money looks like it's going to run out.
You've got to get rid of the money she has at that point, apply for Medicaid, and then trickle some money back, which will shorten the penalty. Now, I'm saying this very broadly, and I don't know the exact numbers that we're dealing with you, but by and large, we can accelerate Medicaid eligibility if we do it in that fashion. It sounds very counterintuitive, I know. It's like, wait, right. You went to a nursing home and you have money. What do you mean you're applying for Medicaid? Well, you get rid of the money, you tell the state you got rid of the money, and then you're allowed to protect $7,900 a month of what you gave away, but you don't begin protecting it unless you first apply for Medicaid.
You got to hold on with me because I got to take one more break and then I'll come back. And Charlie, if you want, you can hold on and we'll see what we can do to help you from there. But right now I got to go to the Weather Channel with Jeff Marr. Take it away, Jeff. And we're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth. And we had a caller, Andrew, from New Jersey, called in, and he says New Jersey has all the inheritance and estate tax also. And so I looked it up online, and yes, it says here that there are 15 states, including the District of Columbia, that have an estate tax, and 6 states have an inheritance tax, but Maryland and New Jersey, surprise, surprise, have both a inheritance and an estate tax. And, you know, the inheritance tax, if you leave money to a non-lineal descendant, parent, children, the estate tax is brutal. I mean, I'm sorry, the inheritance tax is brutal.
10%.
And in Pennsylvania, it's 15%.
It can get that high, yeah.
It can get that high. You know, my parents live in Pennsylvania, and it's $1. It's 4.5%, $1 to children. And they look back to gifts, too, for what? I think it's 2 years. Gifts before 2 years of death and so forth. So, you know, inheritance taxes is almost more brutal than the estate tax.
Yeah, I mean, for those people going up 83 to move to Pennsylvania right now because of what we said, they might want to turn around.
Yeah, well, I've never promoted Pennsylvania as a good state to retire to. I mean, it has its nice points.
There's a pension benefit up there.
Income tax liabilities in Pennsylvania for any retirement income, period.
There you go.
You withdraw it from IRAs, you withdraw it from 401ks, you get a pension, you get Social Security. They tax none of it, period. But they still tax interest, dividends, and capital gains. They have an inheritance tax, and some of those municipalities are brutal
with
the school taxes and the you know, and all other kinds of little taxes they hit you with and so forth. So we're here with Kevin Bress. We only have about a minute and a half left. Let's see if Charlie, you still there?
Yeah.
So I only got about a minute left. All right.
But basically, we have about $600,000 set aside, not in Mom's name, for her.
She's so how long ago did it get out of Mom's name?
About a third of it's been out of her name already 15 months.
So he's got a ways to go.
About 40% of it has only been out of her name for about 3 months. So my question is, when do we apply for the Medicare?
Medicaid.
Medicaid, when she goes in a nursing home or now?
Well, that is such a lot. No, you can't apply now because she has to be in a nursing home to apply for Medicaid.
Okay, all right.
But that is such a large amount of money, so that's why.
And he's already made a lot of moves.
You've made a lot of moves, it's fine. But now there's got to be an equation that has to be figured out. Is it better to do the first thing I said before the commercial and immediately apply and trickle some of that, maybe half of that money back over the next 5 years, 4 years? Or is it better to not apply and simply pay the freight until the 5 years is up? My guess is you're still going to be better off applying, but Yep. Somebody needs to run the numbers.
Unfortunately, Charlie, I'm out of time, so you want to call Kevin. Kevin Bress, 410-339-6767.
You're
Let
amazing.
Me say that again.
Thank you.
410-339-6767. That's how to get in touch with Kevin. The name
Perfect.
Of the law firm is?
Pessin Katz Law.
Pessin Katz Law. Kevin Bress with us, and we're out of time. Drew Tignanelli saying God bless.
Radio 680.